Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for meditation and study this morning is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So far, our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, dear fellow redeemed, ever forget what you're going to say to someone? Sometimes you have those moments where you want to tell somebody something and it's right on the tip of your tongue, but it's not there. How often we fall into a situation like this, trying to remember something, especially something important, especially when we need to say it to somebody, but we can't. And as we get older, the problem only seems to get worse. No matter what we try to do, eventually, our memories are going to fail us completely. Sometimes I'd like to think that the reason I forget so many things is because of my advanced age, but I know that only makes some of our older members snicker. I do remember that as a child, whenever I told my mother something important, she'd say to me, "You better write it down, or I'm not going to remember it." Writing things down not only helps solidify the concept in our own mind, but it gives us a reference point to look back to. Even our younger members, whose memories are still quite sharp, record sermon summaries each Sunday. The fact is, taking notes helps us remember. Modern technology has even tried to solve the problem of us forgetting things with one of the simplest inventions of all time, the post-it note. This little piece of paper comes in a variety of colors and shapes, but the most important thing it does is help us remember important and useful information. Since its inception, taking notes, remembering details, and remembering what we want to tell people has never quite been the same. God also has certain ways of getting us to remember information that's useful. We have an example of this in our text for today. He doesn't use a small piece of paper with adhesive on the back. He uses his Spirit to point it out to us in his Word. May that Holy Spirit bless our meditation as we learn to take note of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how it has saved us, and how it gives us the power to spread the gospel. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, a young and up-and-coming pastor. Certainly, Timothy could learn a lot from the instruction and advice that Paul had to offer. We learn from verse 3 of chapter 1 that Paul had left Timothy in the port town of Ephesus to put down some false teachers. Certainly, this wouldn't be an easy task for any minister, let alone one who is less experienced. But to help Timothy in his work, Paul gives him two letters, and the first of which contains our text for today. Another young pastor who used the advice that Paul had to offer was Titus. The letter to Titus and the two letters to Timothy are often combined under the category of the pastoral epistles. These sections of Scripture are very helpful for any young pastor or teacher in learning the ways that the Lord has for them. As Paul begins his message to Timothy, he is careful not to overexert his authority over Timothy. By this time in the church, Paul was looked upon as a great teacher and a well-traveled missionary. It would have been pretty easy for him to take an authoritative stance over Timothy, his less inexperienced worker. But Paul takes to heart what he writes in verse 16. For this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Paul knew that Christ had used his former life as a persecutor and a blasphemer to help out his ministry and to help those around him. Through Paul's message to Timothy, we see the first of many examples that a minister should have, many qualities, the first of which is to be humble. Our opening verse begins by Paul giving thanks, not listing his accolades like many people do today. To further illustrate this humble service, Paul goes on to list his mishaps, what he has done wrong. We see he was a persecutor, a blasphemer, and an insolent or disrespectful man. And certainly these adjectives are very characteristic for the life of Paul before his conversion, when he was known as Saul. Saul was an absolute terror to the early Christian church. The very mention of his name would strike fear into the people's hearts. Saul was known for going throughout city to city, dragging Christians out of their homes to lives of imprisonment and death. But notice what Paul says about these things. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. Too often today, those who reject Christ, those who think they have the higher knowledge, say that we Christians are the ignorant ones. After all, we follow a God that we can't even see. But Paul tells us what it's like to reject Christ. He knows what life without Christ is like because he's been there before. And he tells us that it's pure ignorance. Those who have faith have the knowledge of God and salvation. They are instructed in the ways of righteousness which lead to eternal life. This is the wisdom of God which Paul described in verse 17. God alone is the one who is wise. He alone is the one who is immortal. And He alone is the one who grants those gifts to those who follow Him. It is true that Paul remembered his former life as a persecutor, and no doubt he probably regretted a lot of the things he did. But we see that through those actions, through his former life, Christ set him as an example for others to follow. The only way that Paul could come to a realization of this and instruct Timothy about this is recorded in verse 14. It was by the grace of God. Most of us have learned the simple definition of grace as undeserved love. And as we look at the life of Paul, as he called himself chief of sinners, we can see that his former life before his conversion, he did just about everything not deserving of God's love. But let me ask you, is it any different for us sitting here today? Have we ever murdered anyone? Have we sat by and watched an innocent man get stoned to death by a mob? Have we spent the last 30 years of our lives dedicated to putting down Christ in any way that we can? Persecuting Christians? Killing people? Well, none of us have, obviously, but what we have done and what we have not done is equally destructive. We have neglected our neighbors. We have not loved others as ourselves. We have neglected our Lord. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And when we look at ourselves, we see that we have sinned from our first breath to our last, and that we deserve nothing in this world or in the next world except pain and punishment. As soon as we quickly realize this, we understand that we are sinful creatures in God's eyes. We understand that we deserve wrath, just as we confessed a few minutes ago. We see that we are chief of sinners. But just as we are sinful in God's eyes, as Paul was, so we are covered by His grace. We are reminded of David's words in Psalm 23, "My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." We are never lacking of the Lord's grace in our daily lives. He gives us more than we need and more than we deserve, even if we can't see it with our eyes. And in the next verse, Paul reaches the climax of his instruction to Timothy, the very foundation that grace is built upon. We read, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Notice how the Holy Spirit points out the importance of this verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. This is our post-it note cue that we need to remember what God is telling us here. We need to write it down, treasure in our hearts, remember it so we can tell others. If there's one thing that Paul wants Timothy to take away from these letters that he's writing to him, it's this one thing: that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you and me. That's all. That's all we need to know. This is the foundation that grace, salvation, and our eternal life is built upon. These faithful sayings pop up in other sections of Scripture as well, primarily in the pastoral epistles. We read from Titus chapter 3, "When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." What a beautiful section of Scripture. Everything we need to know for this life and the next is contained in these words here. And what does Paul go on to tell Titus about these very words that I just read? This is a faithful saying. These faithful sayings are the Holy Spirit's way of showing Paul, Timothy, Titus, and us what we can take hold of from what the Lord says, what we can grasp onto, what we can have our comfort and assurance in. And it doesn't get any more comforting than knowing that Jesus Christ has come to save you, even though your whole life you have been a rebel against what He wants you to do, even though once you leave this church you're not going to be able to do what He wants you to do. He has still saved you, and He still loves you. Jesus also had a similar style to this during His ministry. He would use the literal words, "Amen, amen," to signify many important topics that He was about to address. This translation is probably most familiar to us in the New King James, where it is written, "Most assuredly, I say to you." And Jesus marks these many important sections of Scripture with comforts and assurances that we can take hold of. And we know for ourselves, the moment that Jesus says those words, they are as good as fulfilled, because He keeps His promises. So likewise, we continue that assurance and that comfort today in our own prayers by using that same word, amen. This literary technique is like leaving post-it notes for our spiritual edification as we study the Scriptures. These notes point out many jewels of doctrine which God wants us to seek out, to grab onto, and to take comfort in. And how beneficial this was for young Timothy, as Paul marks this section in verse 15 as one well worth remembering. Paul is telling his readers that Christ Jesus has saved you and now gives you the power to spread that message to others. Notice all the positive points that are connected to Christ Jesus in our text. In verse 12, "Christ Jesus has enabled me, counted me faithful, and entered me into the ministry." Obviously, three valid points for any public minister of the word, three things that anybody should strive to have. And Paul tells Timothy how to receive them by the grace of God. We read another in verse 14, "Faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." This verse reminds me of when Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians, where he lists faith and hope next to love as the greatest gift from the Holy Spirit. But I'm also reminded of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, where he writes, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." These gifts of the Spirit are not just for pastors and teachers. not just for those who spread the word every day, but for laymen, for everyone going out into the world, for Christians. Another quality connected to the work of Christ Jesus, he shows all long-suffering. It didn't matter who Christ was talking to in his life. Think about all the people he came into contact with. But he treated all with patience and love. Let's look back on some of the individuals he ministered to. He began by going to 12 common men, most of whom were fishermen, for the all-important task of being his ministers when he left earth. And if you think it was easy to instruct the 12 disciples, then you better think again. The scriptures are scattered with areas where they were led into unbelief, where they doubted what Jesus said, and when they were unable to grasp the truths. Jesus also went to the poor, the sick, the demon-possessed, the blind, the immoral people of this society. He stunned the scribes and Pharisees, the religious teachers of the day, by coming to these people with love and compassion when so many had turned their backs on him. We're reminded of Zacchaeus, the rich tax collector, looked upon almost everyone as a sinner. But what did Jesus say to him? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The mission for Jesus, the people he came for, were everyone. Not just the high people in society, not just the people who looked righteous, but sinners. Through all of these accounts of Jesus' ministry, we see that he treated everyone with love and patience, the same way that he desires us to treat everyone we come into contact with. We come to the final quality in our text connected to Christ Jesus, his desire to save sinners. Paul highlights this as a faithful saying because it is the most important one of all. For if Christ did not come to save sinners, and there's no point for me talking today, there's no point in you driving to church, there's no point in us having this building at all. If Christ did not come to save sinners, you cannot show love to your neighbor. You cannot be good in God's eyes. Christ has done it all for us. Just as he said, it is only by the blood of the Lamb that we are saved. And Jesus said it himself, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We see that Christ set the example, he showed us the way, and now he gives us the gifts. And so as we contemplate Paul's message to this young pastor, let us also take note of God's grace in our own lives. As I continue my studies when I leave you in a week, I know that the only starting point for any task that I endeavor to take should be grounded firmly in the Word of God and His grace. With that as my anchor, I can be sure that I will be a faithful preacher of His Word. As you continue your daily jobs and lives this week, your mission for Christ is not put on hold until you enter those doors again. Secure yourself firmly to His grace and what He has done for you, and let the Holy Spirit enable and do what He sees fit. Let that patience and love with which Christ showed to so many people shine forth in your lives as well. Take note of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how He has saved you from your sin, and how He gives you the power to spread that message. The post-it note. Modern technology's gift to us for remembering information that's useful. Faithful sayings of the Scriptures, God's gift to us for helping us remember information that saves. We see in our text for today not only what the Holy Spirit intended for Timothy or Titus or Paul, but what He intends for everyone. Take special note of the Lord's grace in your life, how He has saved you from your sin, how He enables you to spread the gospel, and be thankful for such an amazing gift from the Lord. Amen.